There's been a steady escalation of violence in Iraq following a lull around the elections. Among the attacks today, a senior government official was assassinated in Baghdad. An Iraqi journalist working for a U.S.-funded television network was shot and killed in Basra. And three members of the Kurdistan Democratic Party were killed in an ambush on Baghdad's Haifa Street.
That street, an insurgent stronghold, is one of many whose security is the responsibility of Army Colonel Mark Milley. Milley commands the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, which includes units from all around the United States. In the 7 months they've been in Baghdad, the unit has seen 18 soldiers killed in action and 259 wounded. We spoke with Colonel Milley today about the recent surge in attacks.
The shock effect of the election to the enemy was so severe that what you're seeing now is an attempt by the enemy to try to regain a certain degree of face. And they suffered a really hard body blow. Everything from Fallujah on through the elections and the sovereignty over the summer. Those sorts of things are death blows to this type of movement. And this movement does not have the support of the Iraqi people. Those of us who walked the streets knew that before the election, but I think it became clear to the world during the election that the Iraqi people do not support these terrorists and this insurgency.
When you say that those of you who walk the streets know that the insurgency doesn't have the support of the public, how do you gauge that? How can you tell?
I'm on the streets pretty much every day. My soldiers are on the streets pretty much every day. In fact, they are on the streets every day. And you talk to people. I talk to hundreds of people a week, and I'm not, you know, Mr. Gallup, and it's not a scientific poll, but you get a sense for what's happening on the street from a wide variety of sources, everything from people in positions of responsibility, such as local leaders, talk to firemen, talk to policemen, that sort of thing. So it's a pretty broad spectrum, and I form part of my opinions based on that, what I call battlefield circulation.
If the goal, though, of the insurgency is to destabilize the country, create pressure for the United States to leave, you were saying they're not winning, but I wonder if you might look at this pattern of attacks and say they are accomplishing what they intended to do, to destabilize the country and create pressure on U.S. forces to leave.
Well, I think that there's no question that the levels of violence are a destabilizing factor. But to say that it has destabilized the country, I think, would be probably a mistake. You know, I added it up the other day, roughly speaking, 40 to 50,000 patrols over the last couple of months. These are, you know, small four-vehicle, five-vehicle patrols. And that's pretty high density of patrols. And far less than a percentage point of those ever make contact with the enemy. That, to me, is a better gauge of the intensity of the enemy's attacks than it is these singular, spectacular attacks.
Some commanders in Iraq have said that the success that they have in the area that they control is directly contingent on the money that they have to get projects underway, to get things done quickly and not have to go through bureaucratic red mm-hmm. tape. Is that an issue for you?
I've been fairly lucky, I think, in the amounts of money that have been forthcoming for us here in Western Baghdad. We've put about $80 million, I suppose, into the area that we're responsible for. We've got about 200-plus capital projects ongoing, everything from completely overhauling sewer lines to improving some of the medical facilities and providing some medicines, improving some of the schools, trash pickup, you know, for general public health. So I don't think that we're having any significant problems, but I'd agree with the other commanders who said there's a cause and effect. There is a cause and effect. There are underlying conditions to insurgencies. One of the things that these capital projects do is they improve the general quality of life. And if you can give the average citizen a stake in the society, if you can give them some reason to believe in their government, then I think that you're undercutting the recruitment base for the insurgency. So there is a cause and effect there, too.
Of these projects that you mentioned, sewer lines, trash pickup, medical facilities and schools, things like that, what sort of progress is being made on those, and how much is it affected by the ongoing violence? How much of an obstacle is that?
The violence is an obstacle. That's clearly an obstacle. The enemy target, the terrorist target for assassination, kidnapping, death threats, night letters, those sorts of things, they target contractors that will work with us. They target interpreters because we obviously don't speak Arabic. They'll target the actual project. But here's the problem for the terrorists. The people know that. The people know that the person who stands between them and progress is the terrorist, not the government, not the coalition. They know full well on the street that the terrorist isn't cleaning up the trash. They know full well the terrorist is not turning his lights on. They know full well the terrorist is not providing potable water, and so on and so forth. So, yes, the enemy does impede that progress. There's no question about it. But that is a double-edged sword for the enemy.
Colonel Milley, your unit has seen a number of casualties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what sort of effect that has on morale among the soldiers and also on you as their commander.
Well, for me personally, it steals my resolve. And for the soldiers, I think it hardens them. When you see a soldier get hurt, and unfortunately I've seen too many of them, and when you realize a young man or woman, although in our case it's all been men, has been severely wounded or killed, what that does to me is just doubles my resolve to win this thing, to vindicate why that soldier gave his life. And we have. We've taken a lot of casualties. But, you know, the United States is very much misunderstood and very much underestimated in our ability to take casualties. We are still the country of Gettysburg. We're still the country of Iwo Jima. And we're a nation committed to causes of freedom. And we believe in liberating the oppressed. And that's not just words for us. And we will do whatever it takes, in my mind, and I know the soldiers will, to ensure that people have a right to life and liberty and freedom. And that's what we're committed to for the Iraqi people.
This was a war, of course, that sparked a lot of division in the country. And I wonder if you think the American people have the stomach for high levels of casualties, 1,400-some troops now killed.
I think it's relative to the benefit. I mean, if you consider that there's 27 million Iraqi people freer today than they were a couple of years ago, and if you consider that Saddam Hussein, you know, had his jackboot right on their throat for 30 years and butchered over a million Iraqis, then if you think that's worth it, and I do, then I guess you support it. If you think it's okay that Saddam Hussein and his henchmen should butcher, torture, and murder people, And if that's okay with you, I guess you oppose it. But I'm not in that camp. I believe that people ought to be free, period. And I'm willing to fight for it.
Colonel Mark Milley commands the Army's 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, which oversees security on the western side of Baghdad.